Mavs fans, welcome to Pod Maverick After Dark. I'm Kirk Henderson, joined by Josh Bowe. We are coming to you on the very strange day of Thursday, July 2nd. We never record on Thursdays. I am joined in the background by my two dogs, which you may hear wrestling every now and again. I will try to mute myself when I'm not talking, but just giving everybody that heads up in advance. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm glad that we've got so many good draft people on our staff and our site. And I'm like being genuine. Like, people think when I ask questions about draft stuff that I'm like being shitty. And I'm not. Like, I genuinely don't know what I want to know. Like, when I was like, I don't know anything about Merz Johnson, tell me. Like, I got some remarks that were like, typical. You just hate this pick, don't you? And I was like, no, I don't. I don't know who he is. So I'm glad the last couple episodes you've done around the draft have been with the draft guys, and they do a good job. Like, I enjoyed listening to them talk for the last month, it's felt like. But now that we're kind of through the draft, I feel like we're back to stuff I can actually talk about and don't feel like an idiot.
That's right. They were great. Thanks to pretty much everybody that came on, which was, David Sanchez, Tyler, Jack, and Brian. It really was fun. I think, like, judging by the comments on the actual page itself, I think that people did really enjoy what we were doing, which is nice. I mean, that's,
you could tell that they watched, like, yeah, like if it was just me and you talking, you would be like, oh, these guys are just watching YouTube clips. You've watched more than me, but for me especially, be like, oh, these guys don't know who these guys, but like Tyler, Jack, all those guys, Brian, Daniel, they knew what they were talking about. You could tell that they actually watched these guys,
which was fun. And, you know, some of, like, because I'm such an annoying weirdo about Summer League, last year I convinced different writer, different David Trink, David. Tyler to go with us to summer, with me to Summer League. They went out and had a good time. This year, David Sanchez is also coming.
That's good. Good for David.
Matt is Matt and Michael from the website are also coming, and so there's going to be like six of us out there for at least one of the game, which will be fun.
That's crazy.
Getting to see Merz Johnson in person, and so we've had it's like free agency started, what was it, Tuesday afternoon? Is that the right day, or was it Monday afternoon?
It's Tuesday afternoon, the 30th, I think.
That sounds right. So the fact that I don't know the specifics can kind of speaks to how lame free agency itself has actually been. Now, there's been a number of big trades that felt like, okay, dogs, good Lord, puppy's having a great time underneath the table. There's been a number of trades that have occurred, but like, that's not free agency. That's just like different league business year stuff. So, like, let's sort of talk about the Mavericks adjacent stuff, and then I think we can talk about anything else that you and I find interesting as far as, you know, Mavericks news. But really, I think some of these trades sort of explain why Dallas hasn't done very much. So why don't you lead us off with the two pieces of news?
Yeah, I mean, the two biggest moves that they've done are, it's not official yet, but they're going to trade for Detroit guard Marcus Sasser. And then the other big acquisition, which name that people should more readily recognize if you've been watching the Mavs for the last 3 or 4 years, is Santi Aldama, the forward from Memphis. You want to start with Aldama because he's more of a real player. No disrespect to Sasser, but like, in terms of like who you're going to see on your television more this year, it's probably going to be Aldama. And I mean, it's one of those moves where in a vacuum, it is totally fine because he's a good capital G, you know, trademark good player. He seems to kill the Mavericks. I looked up his splits against Dallas. And in 14 games, he's only averaging 9.9 points. Like, that feels wrong. That feels like a typo, but he is shooting like over 52% against Dallas in those 14 career games he's played against them, which that feels accurate. Feels like he didn't really miss a lot of shots when the Mavericks played against him. And he's just a good, well-rounded forward, you know, can shoot, can stretch the floor. The only thing is, like, it very much feels like a domino to fall type move. Because if you look at the Mavericks, I mean, it's the Mavericks roster is oops, all bigs and forwards, which is really funny coming off the Nico Harrison vision that the Mavericks roster as it stands right now has about 18 players that can play the four and the five. But unlike,
I get to use my video again. If nothing changes, I get to use my video from Ocean's 11 where it's all reds again. It's yeah. Very funny.
But I have to imagine, unlike the previous front office regime, I have to imagine that there will be another move to come. We saw that the Mavericks were interested in free agency guard Anthony Simons, who would have made sense. He went to Philly on a really small number, which makes me think like the Mavericks were never really, like, you know, he clearly wanted to go there, or the maybe just an indication of what the market's going to look like now, because no one wants to spend money because everyone's scared of the aprons. But I mean, I can't imagine that every big and forward that's currently projected to be on the roster is going to be there at training camp. So, like, I saw some consternation amongst some of the Mavs community about, you know, like, Aldama is good, but, like, how does he fit this roster? I think we could probably answer that question better in maybe, like, 3 to 4 months, hopefully. But in terms of, like, the player, like, he's a good player, and it was basically, like, for free. Like, that first rounder that they gave up was a fake first rounder. I think it was lottery protected 1 through 20 from the Warriors. Now, of course, the Warriors are pretty old and might be getting older this summer, so maybe that pick, I just don't think there's a chance that pick conveys. Like, the Warriors have been picking in the top 20 for like the last 3 to 4 years. They've had a pick, so it felt like just a free shot at a player who will be a serviceable top 7 guy.
Well, and so I want to talk about this point before I forget it.
Yeah, yeah,
the back 20 pick, the last 10 picks of the first round have been devalued by the NIL. The Mavericks saw that specifically happen this year, where there were 15 guys that our kind of team were interested with, who we thought might be available at pick 30, that went back to college. So that might be kind of the deal going forward, where that back half of the draft is a little bit older. You know, guys that are willing to go back to college to make more money than they would be as a 28th draft pick, something like that. So I'm not really hung up on the pick.
Yeah,
I like the Aldama trade. Here's why, and I'm just gonna, like, the more I've thought about it, the more I'm fine with it. The first is that it's an excellent use of an asset. What asset am I talking about? The Anthony Davis trade created a trade exception worth about $20 million. Trade exceptions don't get used near as much as we like to think they do. You know, back in the David Lord, Mike Fisher days, where they would constantly be spitting stuff about, oh, here's what we could do with assets. They talked about it so much because, like, the Mavericks did something with it once. The ghost chip, whatever the hell that turned out to be Tyson Chandler.
The dust chip.
Dust chip. Sorry, Jesus. What?
Forget your Mavericks lore.
That one time was obviously incredibly impactful, but then there have just been times where you can't slot guys into a trade exception because they're either too big, too small, yada, yada, yada. This is a good use of that. They sent off AJ Green, who is not an NBA player, and got back an NBA player. And I'm very pleased about that. He's 25 years old. He's on his contract is $17 million this year, roughly $17 million next year, and it's a team option. So I'm just, like, as far as asset management, this is top-notch for me. I don't love trading away second-rounders, but second-rounders, as we saw on draft night this year, teams don't know what to do with them because of the NIL and because of just, you know, contract weird stuff and what, you know, a lot of agents are trying to make sure their players get through so they can go to unrestricted or undrafted free agency. You know, there's just a lot of funky stuff that happens. So in terms of, like, quality of move with limited resources, and that's the thing we have to really emphasize here. The Mavericks are a little bit boxed in. We have talked about it at length. All of our listeners know, But it's easy to forget because you get into draft night, you draft three guys or four guys, really. And it's like, oh, okay, there's some new blood. There's some things we can do. And then you get to free agency. And so far, it's been these two small moves. And so it's like, I don't want to act like it's the greatest move of all time. Because again, you talked about it. The forward depth is a bit of a hilarious concern at this point. But I'm not riled up about it because I think that what will happen is they will find a way to move one or both of Gafford and PJ. We can talk about that whenever you'd like, because it just doesn't, like, they don't make sense on the roster. Like PJ and Coop, like, their numbers together were bad. And, you know, I don't know if that's just because PJ really played poorly this season or this last season, which he did, or if it's just a matter of those two truly not fitting. I mean, I'm kind of all over the place with what to do about Gafford and PJ, but Aldama, this is a nice little move that probably doesn't, you know, it's for the real hoops heads.
Yeah. And he will play. Like he won't, you know, we can get to the next guy soon, but yeah, he's just a solid player. And I think we're both in agreement that it's like, love the move in a vacuum, but it definitely has like a little bit of an incomplete grade to it because you just need to see what they're going to do next. Because if they don't do anything next, then it's going to be really confusing and it's going to be a little awkward. And it's not to say that they need to like trade PJ and Gafford for peanuts. Like they definitely still need to try to extract some value there, but you know, if they roll into training camp and it's, you know, Lively, Gafford, PJ, Aldama, Cooper, now that's just a lot of guys, a lot of bigs, plus your first round pick Merez Johnson. That's a lot of mouths to feed. But I have to imagine, you know, it's a new front office. Let's you know, give them some time, and these trades like this will probably take some time. Now that some of the big moves have happened, you know, like that Jaylen Brown trade, once LeBron decides, you know, decision part four or whatever this is, I think then some other stuff will trickle in, because there's always a little bit of a holding pattern in terms of if like a team strikes out on something, then it's like, okay, well now what do we do next? So maybe that'll open some things up when some more moves happen, but we'll see.
So another part that I sort of assumed was a throw in, and this is me. This is my, call it my naivete. I don't really, you know, there was an inclusion with this trade, the rights to a player named Tariq Bibarovic. He's a Bosnian player who currently is playing in Turkey. He's 25 years old and is apparently quite the shooter. Mark Stein reported today that the Mavericks are like, you know, they're talking to him. They're talking to his representatives about a potential buyout. Here's why the buyout's extraordinarily unlikely. The buyout is $2 million. The most the Mavericks can pay is $900,000. So unless this guy is willing to fork over $1.1 million to come play on a middling to bad NBA team this season, that's not happening.
Yeah.
But I was current when they had the pick, I sassed Locked On Isaac Harris and said, you know, I will not be following this guy just because I like draft rights. Like the Knicks own the draft rights to 19 players at this point. Did you know that? 19 second round draft picks. That's how many the Knicks are currently sitting on. Like draft rights are kind of meaningless if we're being honest. Like, you know, it's at a certain point, guys, you're just not really going to bring over guys past a certain point in time. Now, I have to put that out there saying that I would be delighted if a very solid shooter were to join the Mavericks in the future. That would be nice. Like one of the things we know that's been missing from the Mavericks the last season and a half is extensively good shooting. So Jamie Cardona says they had to include it for the Aldama trade to be legal. That's interesting. But you know, it's just sort of something to hold in the back pocket. We probably won't think about him forever, and that's fine. Yeah. But it's an interesting little throw in there. All right. Then the second trade that we had, we didn't even like acknowledge this for the better part of 2 days, largely because I was annoyed. We didn't talk about him as Moneyball. I didn't report it, largely because the way Stein reported it made it seem like it was kind of ambiguous whether it could happen. And then because of the way all these deals started getting reporting, I think he just sort of was like, fuck this. It's done, but it can't be legally done until the 6th when the moratorium ends. And so the Mavericks are trading for Detroit Pistons kind of third string point guard, Marcus Sasser, who I have two Detroit Pistons friends who made sure to let me know that they think he's a good shooter and that we will like him. You know, I have no really he's currently the Mavericks' second string point guard. So yeah, I don't really know. I mean, I guess it depends if Sergio De La Rea comes over, but it's an addition. It is a guy on a I think he's still on his rookie contract.
Yeah, another. It's a young dart throw on a guy that's not as dart throwy, obviously, as AJ Johnson, who is literally just like a lotto scratch ticket that was never going to work. He actually has some, I don't want to say skins on the wall, but he's actually played somewhat meaningful minutes. I mean, he got some minutes on a Detroit team that won 60 games last season, shot over 40% from three. And again, when I say some minutes, you know, he played 38 games and averaged 12 minutes a game, but he had some moments in the regular season for them for sure. Feels like the Brandon Williams replacement. And when you look at what Brandon Williams has done the last few years, I've always had a soft spot for him and I liked his game, but the guy just kind of couldn't shoot anymore. I don't know what happened to him last season. He wasn't that bad of a shooter, I think, the first year the Mavericks brought him on. They just need a shooter from that spot. Like, it was great that Williams was such an aggressive paint toucher and ball handler and driver. But they need more shooting. Like, it's obvious they need more shooting. That's his number one thing. I don't know how much else he can do. He's 6'1". We'll see what the rest of his game is, but he seems to be a bona fide shooter regardless. So if that's what you're upgrading from the Brandon Williams spot, a little, I think he might be slightly younger, but they're both, I think, around 25, 26 years old. Slightly better defender from what some people on our staff say, and a better shooter. That makes a lot of sense. And I think he's a hometown kid, right? Isn't he from the DFW area?
I will need to Google that.
Not know? You're Mr. High School Basketball.
I
know.
I fall out of rotation every now and again. But yeah, I mean,
he went to Red Oak.
Okay.
High school. Yeah.
So here's sort of my feelings on free agency so far. The Mavericks don't have a lot to work with, and what they're working with right now, I think everyone should be by and large pleased. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. If you're upset about the way the offseason's going, I'm trying to figure out what was the expectation. Like, the team was not good last year. They fired the front office. They've overhauled everything. Like, this is a rebuilding team. Like, do people think that just because Kyrie's still on the team?
I really don't think anyone's unhappy. But I really don't, because I normally tend to see kind of crash outs in my timeline. I really haven't seen that much. But I will tell you this. What has happened by and large in the NBA the last several days, from the Lakers becoming the Snowtime Lakers, signing that many white dudes in the purple and gold, is objectively hilarious, to this Jaylen Brown trade. The Sixers, I suppose, got better, but they don't move me. They don't. Every trade that has occurred, every trade, I'm just like, who cares? Like, this is like nothing. There's not been a single trade so far, and chat, tell me if you think I'm wrong, where it's like, oh, this is really cool. This is going to be a big deal for the NBA. Like, I don't see it affecting the Spurs, the Knicks. I mean, I guess, gosh, the big
Kawhi
guy
trade is kind of maybe depends.
Sorry.
Who were you thinking about?
I was thinking Kawhi. Mitch signing with the Celtics is an interesting one, but yeah. The Celtics then lost Jaylen Brown. So it's like, this is a bunch of nothing to me. The Spurs are still going to be awesome. The Thunder have completely unfucked themselves, which is just so frustrating. You know, of course, they can still make moves. The
Lakers should be better, but we'll see.
I don't think so. The Lakers will be more watchable. They don't have anyone who can guard a chair. Like, who's playing defense? Like, on that team, like they're just very 2022-23 Dallas Mavericks, where, you know, Austin Reeves is obviously quite good, and I'm sure they'll put up a good fight on offense, but it's like, you're going to get to, like, January, because what happens with the Los Angeles Lakers schedule, for anybody who forgets, Los Angeles Lakers always have a cake October and November schedule because no one's watching. That, relatively speaking, the national audience is not watching. Then, in, like, February, March, and April, they tend to play a murderer's row every year of the primetime games, and that's when they just get killed. Like, you'll watch them just kind of trickle down the standings. Now, Luka could be a wizard, but it's like, I just think the Lakers are ass. You know, we keep joking about Project 2028 in our thing, because it's like the
Lakers do feel very 2019 to 2023 Dallas Mavericks.
You're just not convincing me of this. And it's like, Luka has to do everything again with Austin Reeves, who is an excellent offensive player, but there's just nobody on. Like, Luka might be like the third best defensive player on that team. It's crazy.
It is pretty crazy.
What were other big trades? I mean, I suppose like the Toronto trade is actually like they're going to be a good team, but that also relies on Kawhi Leonard playing. And like, that's just like my friend Brian said, autistic man goes somewhere he's familiar. And I just about died because like Kawhi going back there, that's so weird. Like he wanted to get out of there
so bad. Yeah.
And then went back. So it's like I was listening to two or three NBA shows today that are really like everybody's thinking there's some quid pro quo going on with like the whole deal with the Clippers. Cause like, it just doesn't make sense for him. Like he was never going to play anywhere again. Like he demanded to be in Southern California. So for him to go back there just has to be something afoot. But
You think it's like they're getting sniff of the NBA. It's like, hey, if you stay in LA, we're going to have to punish you. So, you know, maybe trade to take the heat off. That makes sense. But yeah, I mean, the Mavericks roster is still a work in progress. I think the two moves they made were objectively good moves for players, the kind of players that they need. I mean, Aldama and Sasser both can shoot. So even if you're a little hesitant on, you know, Merez Johnson with their ninth overall pick, who isn't really a shooter, you know, they've addressed shooting with pretty much almost every big move. You know, I don't want to say big, but every move of significance they've made since drafting Merez has been shooting, floor spacing, somewhat the modern game in mind. Even, you know, you look at the 25th pick that they traded up for to get Sergio, the Russian kid that they're going to take a dart throw on with their second round pick. I mean, they are, you know, I joked about, you know, Masai taking another, you know, mega athletic freak forward with his first round pick again. And just like, Masai hasn't changed, but like they have the rest of their offseason moves have indicated that they understand at least partly that, you know, the shooting is a problem. The floor spacing is a problem and you need to spread things open a little bit more for Cooper Flagg. The interesting thing, and I'll just say it again, is like where, you know, what's the next move? And to me, like the thing, and I floated up there on Twitter, and I guess this is what we could talk about next. Like, I'm looking at all the Mavericks forwards and I'm looking at Portland's guards and I'm looking at Mike Schmitz was with Portland as an executive before he came to Dallas. And I'm like, they got to be on the phone talking about something, right? Like, I don't know who it is, but you know, they've got Drew, they've got Ja, they've got Dame coming back from his injury. They've got Shaedon Sharpe. They've got Scoot Henderson. That's five guards that all would probably consider themselves like guys, not necessarily like I need the ball, but like guys that don't consider themselves maybe bench guys. You know, Lillard maybe toward the end of his career, that might be an easier pill to swallow for him. But like, if they're starting Ja and Drew Holiday, like Shaedon Sharpe and Scoot Henderson don't seem like guys that are like, yeah, I'm a bench guy. Like those are guys that probably consider themselves alphas more than anything. So can you look at Portland and be like, hey, you guys you lost Jeremy Grant in that trade, I think, to get Ja. Do you need a PJ? Do you need, I don't know if they need another Gafford, cause they do have they've got some bigs there. But like a PJ for Sharpe or Scoot, foundation of a trade, just makes way too much sense.
I keep making the joke that a Scoot Henderson jersey would go over well in my house.
Yeah.
My 10-year-old would be
like, nice custom jersey, Kirk. He's like, no.
My 10-year-old would never take that off. I don't know. Like, I've asked Portland people and there doesn't seem to be,
they don't want to do anything.
There doesn't seem to be, and that's just a now thing.
Yeah.
I mean, my sort of talking point has been, so we got Jack Nowicki, who was on the draft podcast, keep saying, and he's right, in terms of like PJ Washington is worth the first round draft pick. He is a 3-4 who can shoot the ball reasonably, who is on a good contract entering his prime.
And has playoff skins on the wall now, as a starter for a finals team. Key contributor, like, so we've seen it in the playoffs.
So this is not just me puffing him up. There is a resume, there is a reason. So I think he is worth a first rounder. I do not think the Mavericks can get a first rounder for him. Does that make sense? Like, I just don't think that there is the team out there that will go, you know what, we're going to trade a future first for this guy.
I think the thing that's mucking it up is the new draft lotto rules, right?
Yes.
Because now teams are like, wait a minute, that pick could be, now that there's a little bit more randomness in the, I don't know if it's randomness, but now that there's more of a chance to secure a lottery pick for teams that aren't necessarily like the tankiest of the tankers, that probably, like, and like you look at a team like Portland, play-in team in that range, the new lotto rules benefit teams in that, you know, if you win between 35 to 42 games, you could still end up with a really pretty good draft pick. So now it's like, well, wait, this pick that used to be almost a lock to be like 12, 11, 13. Now you're telling me that like the odds are giving us a little bit more of a boost to jump into like the top 10 or maybe the top five. So now does that team get a little stingier with their picks because they now think that even if they have a solid enough season that they could still use that pick to acquire more game-changing talent? I think that's going to make teams nervous to trade their picks until they see how the lotto shakes out. Unless right. you're trading for Walker Kessler and then you just trade all your picks.
Jonathan in the chat says PJ is a struggle unless there's someone to set him up and the Mavericks team couldn't shoot. I agree with that. I thought he was like a Lakers guy. Honestly, like I figured the Lakers would sort of find a way to trade for him and then they just
make the 2024 Mavericks again.
Sure. I mean, it worked. So, let's quick sidebar. We've been talking about this in the Mavs Moneyball chat. The Mavericks got unlucky in who they faced in the finals. The Celtics got lucky in who they faced in the finals. The Celtics were simply, they're an all-time team. The 2024 team was all-time.
Because
we've not seen the Celtics come in, and it's very frustrating to think about that in hindsight.
If that 2024 Mavericks team had that run in 2023 or 2025, like what could have happened?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, the thing that I am sort of adapting to, and I think we've talked about this, but it's like one thing to talk about it in advance and then it comes closer and you kind of got to live with it, is like this Mavericks team is still going to experience a gap year. And just to let Xander Turner says Anthony Simons ? He got signed by the 76ers today. Yeah. So it's like the reason I'm the Mavericks might be a really rough watch again. Now, the coach
Kyrie will help
help a great deal, but yeah. I just don't bank for more than 50 games. I think that, you know, Dusty May said in an interview that he wants the Mavericks to be top five in pace. Okay, but you need ball handlers. Like, are we going to be doing like cool passing drills up and down the floor? Like, how is this happening?
Well, I think the Mavericks were fast last season too, but fast doesn't always mean good.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but I think another thing, I think my favorite quote that he's given, I think he said like, we want to be kind of like, what did he say? Like, we want to be, he didn't say it verbatim, but he was basically like, we want to be watchable. Like, cause you think about how awful it was to watch. Like he mentioned like bringing the fun back to the game, which there was not a lot of joy to watch outside of the Cooper Flag moments last season.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. But yeah, I mean, it's frustrating. I can understand there being a little frustration in the sense of like, we'll just wait and see, because if you're a Mavericks fan, you know that is the kiss of death for every offseason. If you know, you're getting flashbacks of the 2012 and 2013 and 2014 and 2019, and you're just, you know, you get you're like the PTSD last helicopter out of Vietnam flashbacks when you hear that phrase. But like, that's just kind of where we're at, and I think you give the new front office the benefit of the doubt. The first two acquisitions they made post draft make a lot of sense. And if they don't trade for a rotation level guard, you know, Sasser, I don't think counts for this. Like a guard that could be your sixth man or maybe start next to Kyrie, that level of guard, you know, by middle of September, then we could start being like, okay, what are we doing? Obviously, yeah, they have the trade deadline then, which puts pressure on teams to do things. And maybe that's where it picks up. But yeah, we'll see. I can't. The Aldama trade doesn't, say whatever you will about Masai and what he's done post 2019 title. Say whatever you want to say about Mike Schmitz and his experience level as an executive. Like, though, I will trust that those guys are smart enough. Like, the Aldama trade cannot just be additive in terms of like it just feels like a trade to set up something else that's going to happen. Maybe it's not a big move, but it just feels like this. There's another piece to fall here. That's all I will say.
I think, hey, but shout out to Ron from DLS's show. Good evening, young man. And lots of other people who are in the chat. Kind of an active chat for us on a random Thursday. What was I going to say? Really good podcasting for me. I just... there's going to be a consolidation. You know, the chat's kind of talking about that right now. But I think the return for the consolidation is going to annoy people.
You know, lower your expectations.
And if they keep guys and they become a way station for picks and players, which is what I've wanted all along, all the better. I mean, one thing I will say, and this is just the personal favorite element of mine, with respect to the guys in the Dallas area, your Steins, Cato before he took a different job, Tim McMahon, I like that nobody knows a fucking thing.
That's been fun.
All this stuff has been like, oh, interesting, came out of the woodwork. And that's been the case since like the Anthony Davis trade. Like everything has just been like, hey, it happened all of a sudden. It's nice. The reason I say it's nice is there's a freedom in not knowing to where I don't feel the need to be attached to my computer.
I feel like we're free from the chains of the machine of the last 20 years.
there's some real truth to that, man. Yeah. Like I like being, you know, 10 years ago this week, I was losing my fucking mind over the signing of Harrison Barnes.
Oh yeah, that was 2016, wasn't it?
Like if my tweets were still, I deleted all my tweets from before like 2018. If you go back my timeline way back when, it's just like four straight days of being like, this is terrible. Cause I was correct, but Harrison Barnes is a nice guy, just not a number one signing. I'm just in a better headspace. All this stuff is going to be what it is. The fact that they've Dallas is now back to, it's reopened their borders and we have international players again.
Yeah. The international Mavericks are back and
open. I love it. I do. Yeah. I love it.
If you're a team in the Mavericks position where you're cap starved and you got nuked by a bad front up previous regime, your cap numbers aren't fantastic, your pick situation isn't great. That's what you got to do to you got to work the margins. The margins is the international game. You know? Yeah. That's what you got to do.
I mean,
the tools in the tool chest, which is not something previous Mavericks regimes felt like they did all that often.
Yeah.
So
what else do we got? I didn't even break for a commercial. I'm just gonna, so sorry for whoever like straight dealt with like the 2 minutes. No, I'm gonna insert ads just like in a random ass place. Like I have to. So yeah. I apologize for having done that for folks who are still listening. Did anything else happen? Like I don't really think anything else happened.
Green is gonna join the coaching staff, it seems like, the former New Orleans head coach, which is fine.
I know who he is.
I don't have takes on assistant coaches. Like that's where I kind of.
Well, New Orleans was terrible. New Orleans is and was and always will be at this rate a terrible situation. So I don't really judge his coaching from there at all. So good luck. How was Minions? That's what you saw today.
Yeah, I took my kid. It was the first time I'd seen a Minion. Like I'd seen like Despicable Me, but you've never seen them.
They're really funny.
Not the actual Minions movies. I've seen Despicable Me.
The Minions movies are shockingly funny.
It was silly. It was very silly. I had fun. And it's also like this one is like weirdly like a love letter and ode to like
a lot of
filmmaking.
Movies.
Yeah. And like I was like, oh, this is kind of like sweet and sentimental because you know me. Like I'm a big, I gotta go to the theater with my popcorn and my big screen. So that was, it felt like it was almost like it was made specifically for me. The only problem, this is not the movie, the movie was funny, my daughter loved it, is that they keep showing the new Spider-Man movie previews.
I don't want to see the trailers. I've not seen a single one.
I don't mind that. I don't care about being spoiled by trailers, but like they keep showing the Spider-Man trailers before these kids movies. They showed it before this, they showed it before Mario, they showed it before Toy Story, and I'm just like, and every time my daughter, who loves Spider-Man, favorite superhero, watching that Disney Plus cartoon, that Spidey and his amazing friends, like that got her in. She has 8,000 Spider-Man shirts and stuffies and toy. Like she's in Spider-Man and she's just like, I want to go see real life Spider-Man. And she's five. And like, I'm just like, I'm trying to work up how we have that conversation of, I don't think you're ready to see that in a movie theater just yet. Not that I don't think it's gonna be bad, but more just for your sake. Like I don't want you having nightmares about Scorpion or something. But
that leads right into this nice transition. So yeah. my father showed me Aliens when I was like seven.
Oh, I know. I watched Predator when I was
and I have like, been like but I've been a wimp about horror movies ever since. But the last 2 days, I watched 28 Years Later and the Bone Temple.
Ooh.
And I have not seen
those are good movies.
What move? Like movies? Like that was like like slop on a screen. That was something cinema else.
Filmmaking, practical effects.
I had a good time with that.
We did see the ridiculous Trojan horse popcorn bucket for the Odyssey at the movie theater today. That I almost bought, but Megan, my wife, refused because she says what? Because the if you haven't seen it, it's like, you know, it's the Trojan horse and it's a popcorn bucket, but the opening for the popcorn is the belly, which is, I think, you know, where they came out of and what they're showing the movie. But Megan's like, how am I going to get the popcorn?
Right, we're going to flip the whole.
She's like, I don't want it just because it's not practical. I'm like, well,
amazing.
You're buying a Trojan horse popcorn bucket. You're not buying it for the practicality, but I understand. We're probably going to pass on that one.
All right. So I don't want to waste everybody's time. You got a lot of potential podcasts you can listen to, folks that have to record every couple of days. Shout out to Ron versus us who kind of don't have to. Summer League starts on Thursday. The Mavericks play on that Thursday. I'm going to be there. That's a week from today. We may record next week if there's something that goes on.
We need to at least, maybe not like, I don't know how off, but like, when you're there, I just like hearing you talk about like just being there. Like,
okay.
If we're not talking about the games, like we can talk about the games, but I just like hearing you, and maybe, you know, if some of the other guys want to talk just about, like, I just like hearing about the experience. It's fun. Like, it's that part's fun.
Then maybe, then maybe we'll do something while I'm out there, because the internet connection in these hotels is actually better than I would have thought. That's so cool. You know, we'll see where we go from there. I'll say last year I like was just hanging out with the DLLS guys, and Bobby's like, do you want to come on? Like, sure. So I was like, you know, never know what'll happen there. The games the Mavericks play are Thursday, Saturday, Monday. So I'll get to see three of the four that are scheduled. So it'll be fun. Again, if you don't watch Summer League, it's kind of my, like, it'll get you like thirsty for NBA basketball, but it's also like extraordinarily painful at spots because these guys haven't played before really. And it's sloppy. It's great. It's, you know, watching some of the rookies is a fun time. Like, did you see the clip of Darren Peterson shooting for Utah? Just like in the gym?
No, I didn't.
You should go look at this clip. It's like there's a reason he was talked about number one. I mean, he just hits three pointers from the corner for a minute straight. And it's like, you know, that Dirk was good at this. Vince Carter was good at this. Like, that you could hear the net pop.
Yes.
Like it's that. And it's like, this is a person who has excelled at their craft beyond a means for that I have the capacity to understand. So very fun video. All right. About 40 minutes. You got anything else?
Oh, I'm good. We'll pop back in, I guess, when the Mavericks trade for Scoot Henderson.
If they do something crazy, I do want to record again, because it's just right now there just hasn't been much. So, all right, team, everybody, enjoy your 4th of July. Be careful with those fireworks. Eat and put on sunscreen if you go outside.
Yes, put on sunscreen.
Sunscreen is important. All right,
I have everybody to put it on the top of my head now, like shampoo. I'm not joking. I lather up when I go to the water park.
Derek Lively, embrace your
bald your baldness.
Embrace your bald. Oh my god, poor that hairline. Everybody be good. Thanks so much for hanging out. Go Mavs.